Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese. We're 44 days out from Ohio State football. Buckeyes open the season Saturday, September 5th, hosting Ball State at the Shoe. The Columbus Dispatch reported Thursday, Ohio State sold the most season tickets since at least 2009. Ryan Day, Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, Jalen McClain, along with NBC Sports' Joshua Perry, head of the Windy City next week for Big Ten Media Days. The Buckeye contingent will speak next Wednesday at the downtown Chicago Hilton. In baseball yesterday, Twins beat the Guardians 3-1 in Cleveland. Minnesota broke a 1-1 tie with a pair of runs in the 12th inning. The team split the 4-game series. Guardians are in Tampa against the Rays at 7-10. Cleveland's a half game back of the White Sox in the AL Central. The Reds had Thursday off. Cincinnati's in St. Louis tonight against the Cardinals. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road, or visit them online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Well, congratulations, you made it to your Friday. Hopefully you've done so without suffering heat stroke. Hopefully you've done so without explosive diarrhea. The important thing is you've made it. Hopefully you're doing so with an enthusiastic eye towards your weekend. We're going to walk you up towards it, or at least up towards noon. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker. You heard there in the update, JP's getting ready to go to the Windy City next week. Going back to Chicago. Have you
back.
Booked everything?
Yes. Booked well in advance, which really... it ain't that hard. I send an email with like, hey, you know, think I want to take a flight midday. And then they're like, all right, here are the options. I pick one. They book it. The hotel is set up. The transportation set up. We're good to go. Now, I do need to get my fits ready, you know, because we're going to be doing some.
You're going to be on camera for 3 days, right?
Yes. Now, we're doing mostly pre-produced feature capsules, things of that nature, nothing live. But your boy's going to be on there. So I got to make sure that got the fly fits. Haven't picked those out yet. So that's my challenge for the weekend.
I will say this. You, most of the time, 90% of the time I see you, you look TV ready.
I appreciate that.
So I think it wouldn't take, I don't think it would take much for you. You're going to pop on a blazer, whatever passes for TV ready in terms of clothes. Now you look like you're good to go in this outfit.
But yeah. Well, I got to get the suits ready. Got to make sure the shirts are pressed. I have no idea what our philosophy is for this. If we're going tie, no tie, we've gone back and forth on that far too many times. I need to go to the barber shop, which is probably going to be a Monday thing. Monday morning. I think I'm going to make my way over there. So got a couple things on the list.
What's the one thing from a content standpoint are you looking forward to next week in Chicago? I know we'll do a little greater conversation about Big Ten Media Days and what kind of we all expect here in a couple minutes. But just for you right now, what are you thinking? Like the number one thing from a content standpoint you're looking to do over those 3 days?
So I'll have the opportunity to interview Julian, Coach Day. I'm talking to Coach Fickell as well and a handful of other players. So it's great to catch up with our guys.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I get to interview Coach Fick. I've done it basically the whole time that I've been at NBC and he's been at Wisconsin. I think he's usually pretty candid. But the best stuff is social media. We have these like breakout rooms, and we'll have some of our social media people in there, and we'll have crazy prompts, just different off the wall questions, things to get the guys a little bit more loose than the typical interview goes. And when you get a player who's had a little bit of a long day and they haven't been able to show off their natural personality, you get some really fun stuff going on.
So we mentioned Luke Fickell. The Wisconsin contingent is on day one. That's Tuesday, July 28th. But for Ryan Day, Julian Sain, Jalen McClain, Jeremiah Smith, Wednesday, July 29th for the Buckeyes there. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to T-Bone and Tyvus, and Bone had mentioned that this weekend he's got one of his daughter's drama events, a play, a musical, one of the two. And then I think they said that you were a stagehand in high school.
I was.
Were you the largest stagehand in Olentangy history?
I may have been. I worked with the show choir. So, you know, you've got all of your different things. They've got drama, and then you've got, you know, your band and your orchestra and your choir. And then there's a show choir where you do all the singing and dancing. And we had stages to build and then break down. And then we even had at times parts of these performances where we as the crew would be involved, because we wanted to change the set during the thing. So we'd get the costumes on and we'd kind of like, it was a whole, I had to learn some choreography. It was a great experience for a young man who wanted, I mentioned the other day, we had the question, what would you tell somebody going to college that's getting ready to play a sport? And I said, take the opportunities to be a regular student.
Yeah.
And in high school, I could have just been big man on campus jock guy and not done any of that. And I'm very glad that I did, because I think I'm a more well-rounded person because of it.
I mean, that's why JP's so good at everything he does. He's so well-rounded, great background, and many different talents. It all makes sense.
Speaking of dramatic children, we'll have a lot from SEC Media Days. Yesterday, you had Steve Sarkisian put his foot in his mouth a lot. I'm wondering if I'm a Texas fan that wants to look forward to 2026, hear him bellyache about 2025. Isn't exactly where I'd want my coach's focus to be.
We'll talk about it. I have strong feelings. I know you do. I know Bake does for sure. We'll talk about that.
Doug LaMaurice will join us at 10:30. We'll have Tim May on at 9:45. One or both will be headed to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days next week. So I'm interested to see, you know, what their attention will be focused on in Chicago, and also their thoughts about SEC Media Days, especially from one Doug LaMaurice, who likes to be Jon Snow in that GIF with the Bolton Army as the SEC fans coming at him, always unsheathing and ready to have his sword out to fight the hillbillies, or fighting the advancing hillbillies. But our 20 most interesting programs, we're going to bounce out of the ACC today, and we're going to tackle Michigan State. Sparty in year one under Pat Fitzgerald. Matt Sheehan hosts the Locked On Sparty podcast, Locked On Spartans podcast, I should say. He'll join us at 11:30. We have one more ACC team to do. And that's the SMU Mustangs. We'll get to them on Monday when Bo returns. That's, other than Ohio State, probably Bo's favorite team. And so when we do the 20 most interesting programs, I think at least for the past 5 years that I've done it, 4 or 5 years that I've done it, they've always been one of the 20.
So I'm going to make sure that my radio is tuned to the fan on Monday, 11 o'clock. Because I want to hear what Bo has to say about this program. I do think they're very interesting this year.
If you are in a barbershop, make sure that their radio is tuned.
I will probably be there at like 8 a.m.
Dang.
I like to get the early cut. I drive 40 minutes to the barbershop too, but I like to get in and get out. That can be an all day thing. Yeah, buddy.
Get it early.
40-minute commute. So that's there and back, or just you're going there?
40 minutes there, 40 minutes back.
How long's the haircut?
Oh, the haircut is the shortest part of it. It's like a 25-30-minute thing.
And that...
just going to say, why do you do that?
Because there aren't a lot of barbers that look like me up north.
I got you. I had a buddy back in high school who traveled across the city to get his hair cut because he liked the way the lady massaged his scalp.
Well, that'll
do it.
He said
she did it better than anyone else, so that's why he drove there.
This guy's been cutting my hair for 12 years now. And when you find a good something like that, it's like a mechanic, right?
You just stick with it.
Yeah, you know, like you find that mechanic that's really good, and your car comes out, and it's great every time, and they never charge you too much. You just keep going. Same thing with the barber.
And so that's a business expense for you, right?
Like
No,
man. The IRS, they don't like that.
I was thinking like that, maybe the suit's getting
pressed. The IRS does not like any of that kind of stuff. This is all out of my pocket.
If NBC Sports gives you a stipend. So
I wish they did.
Get yourself suited. Did you ever at any point in your media career, and I know you're in it's sort of its infancy, but have you gotten an allocation for suits and clothing?
When I was with Bally Total Fitness Sports, okay. It was the one network that gave me a few shekels so I could buy some clothes.
I would not have said that. The Big Ten, Bally Sports, NBC, I would have not thought Bally. Also, rest in hell, Bally, and all of the RSNs. You will not be missed. Forever since I've been doing this show, and it was Bishop and Laurinaitis, and now that it's third incarnation of Bishop and Friends, Bo has maintained that the SEC will be arguing our 9-3 is better than your 11-1. Well, you actually heard comments that are almost the exact same from Lane Kiffin, from Steve Sarkisian yesterday. It has been something that, and we do Weekend Blitz Mondays. What I believe is one of the first one of the first categories that we do. And this is one that Bo has been on forever. The SEC is always going to come out and say what we have in this conference is tougher than the Big 12, is tougher than the Big 10, is tougher than the ACC. And when they were winning national championships, Joshua, okay, a valid argument to make.
Sure.
But now that you're 0 for the last three, and I want to say 0 for the last three in terms of title appearances, because it was Washington, Michigan. It was Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Has a more recent title appearance in the SEC.
It doesn't hold true. You will hear from Lane. You'll hear from Steve Sarkisian for the first of several things where you just have to question his intelligence. We'll do that next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of filtered sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Happy Friday, Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Michigan State Spartans are the program we will cover for our 20 most interesting at 11 o'clock. You'll hear from Pat Fitzgerald on Wednesday. They don't have a schedule of who's going first, second, third, fourth, and fifth on the day, but the Spartans, the Gophers, the Buckeyes, the Ducks, the Boilermakers, and the Bruins are on Wednesday, which is never going to be not weird, Joshua, that UCLA and Oregon are in this dumb conference.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think like 50 years from now?
They're not going to be in the, there's not going to be a Big Ten 50 years from now.
What if there was?
They probably include some Sunshine State schools. You probably include a school in Texas. Like, I do feel like Houston or SMU with maybe even TCU with the booster backing that they have, like okie dokie, bring one of them into the Big Ten if you want to truly be a national conference. Like, if you're going to do this. And then Notre Dame, I tend to think, gun to my head, that Notre Dame will never join a conference.
I don't think they will either.
They've got the NBC deal that's going to be too sweet for them, and teams can't get anything on teams, coaches, athletic directors, decision makers in the sport can't ever be on the same page to fully keep Notre Dame out of anything.
Yeah, Notre Dame has done a really good job of being able to get the carve out in everything that happens. And it's because they're that important to college football. Like, I, as much as people get mad, Like,
and if Ohio, they get mad.
They do. But if Ohio State was in Notre Dame's spot, they would be doing the exact same thing, and they would get all of the same treatment, maybe even a little bit better treatment. And there are a handful of programs that can be like that. Notre Dame's like, we're just going to continue to be that way.
You know what, Joshua? I tend to think sometimes, and I go back and forth with this, that the Big Ten maybe, that Ohio State maybe should just do that. You know, there was, I forget the reporter who had hypothesized that if Ohio State and Michigan just said, you know what, blank our media rights deal. We're going to sell this game, the game, individually, $100 million.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's too far off.
I would be curious.
But I think Ohio State certainly could go their own way. And when I see stuff from the Big Ten, and you'll probably hear some stuff from Tony Patini next week that makes you go, hmm. And I will think probably then, would it be better off if the Buckeyes just dipped out of this conference and said, now we're good. You can keep your Rutgers and your Purdue and, you know, your Maryland making the same as maybe even more than UCLA or USC or Oregon and Washington. Like, we're good. And they won't.
So here would be the mechanics of that, right? Like, Notre Dame's got their scheduling alliance with the ACC. Mm-hmm. And we see what that schedule looks like with those teams on it. And then there are a lot of teams, like Michigan won't play ball with them anymore. Michigan yeah. State won't play ball with them anymore. USC is not right now. And so we see what some of their other games are looking like. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you get your independence. Ohio State, Michigan's always going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. You'll have that. You will have access the same way, or maybe even greater access in some regards than what you have right now. But are you willing to sit through a 12-game schedule that looks like what Notre Dame's is getting ready to look like? And you're going to pay money and buy season tickets and do, like, it would be a mindset right. shift for us. For them, it's what they've always done, but that would be a different deal for us.
And here's the thing with that, too. Notre Dame still has to be in a conference in other sports. Like, they've always been, they've just been independent in football, but they've been in conferences for other sports. Is Ohio State, and we know that Ohio State has maybe been a better partner to the Big Ten than they could have been in years. Ohio State would totally be fine in football, but Ohio State would still need the Big Ten in the other sports, and Ohio State is not going to do that, I don't believe, no. to the Big Ten while they're still
no Ohio
using
State
them.
And for the
I think the Big Ten will
time.
Always be here.
I think Ohio State for the longest time has always been the best friend to the Big Ten, has always been the champion of the Big Ten. Like, you've had Ryan Day, you've had, you know, other coaches, other high profile players always rowing in the same direction that the Big Ten wants to go. And that's not going to stop anytime soon. But for the games in the conference, I don't want to see Indiana continue to do what it was doing with its schedule. I don't want to see Penn State say, well, we're unrivaled. I'm thrilled that Ohio State is going to try this ambitious schedule this season. And I think a lot of it works out the way it did just from Big Ten scheduling. But the fact that you're going to play Texas in a week two, and I want them to keep those matchups that Georgia with Alabama coming up here, you know, in the next 5 years, you have those home and homes with SEC teams. Because when you go to fans and you say, we need more, mm-hmm. you have to present them with something like that. So to your point about the scheduling, like, this works better because Ohio State's in the Big Ten, in my opinion.
No doubt. But we'll talk about the idea of what, like, Indiana is doing. I think that's where a lot of people are getting right now. And a lot of the reason why is this dumb committee that we have makes us promises about how they'll treat teams that schedule a certain way. And then they end up scheduling that way. And whatever happens after that happens after that. People end up pissed because they're like, we could have just scheduled a nobody like Indiana did and will continue to do.
So when you talk about scheduling nobody, last season, the Texas Longhorns losses on their schedule included Ohio State, also included a loss to 4-8 Florida. Coach Sark yesterday, when he was talking at SEC Media Days, it still takes umbrage with how the committee viewed the Longhorns at the end of last season.
If we beat Ohio State last year, surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is, if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High and we're 10-2 and our two losses are to Georgia and Florida, we're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so, is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see. Because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that, of what that looks like.
So the ultimate we'll see when talking about a potential home and home that is on the schedule right now for the Longhorns and the Fighting Irish in 2028 and 2029.
This is something that needs to be addressed and figured out by the committee. I think Sark is whining. And Bake, I know you want to go off on this. What happened against Florida is the reason, if you're going to pinpoint a reason.
Yes.
I'm also of the belief, like Sark is, that if you're just 10-2 or whatever their record ends up being, and you played a nobody in the non-con, you're probably going to get one of the last spots in that field, right? Like the committee has just ranked teams based off of what their records are. And by the way, the highest ranked undefeated team is usually from the SEC, and the highest ranked one loss team usually comes from the SEC. That's just how it's been historically. And so I think Sark sees that and he's like, we put our neck out there and we tried to do the thing you guys said that you weren't going to punish us too harshly for. And we feel like we ended up getting punished for it. That's a problem when your coaches feel like that's how you treat the sport.
And to Texas's gripe, you also had a spanking at the hands of Georgia on your schedule. So you lose three games last season, and now you're adding another conference game to your slate. And everybody in the South is saying, well, our 9-3 is better than anybody else's 11-1. Here's Lane Kiffin from yesterday in Tampa.
I just think that it's going to cause issues that we've already seen until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that. I think it causes a problem.
Problem maybe for him.
Oh, let me go off on these idiots. So let's start with Sark here. You didn't miss out on the playoffs because you lost to Ohio State. You missed out on the playoffs because you lost to 4-8 Florida. Why don't you sit there and say, if we're 10-2 and our losses to Georgia and Ohio State, we're in the playoff? And let me tell you what Ohio State didn't do. Ohio State didn't lose to 4-8 Wisconsin. Ohio State didn't lose to 3-9 UCLA. And Ohio State didn't lose to 5-7 Rutgers. And you may say, well, Baker, there's no way Florida. I mean, Florida's way better than those teams. So let's take it a step further. Because let's say, okay, Florida, if they were in the Big Ten, if you want to, they would be maybe 8-4. Or they'd at least be 7-5. Ohio State didn't lose to 7-6 Penn State. Ohio State boat raced 8-5 Minnesota. Ohio State didn't lose to 9-4 Illinois, Washington, and Michigan. So win your games. Quit trying to sell chicken poop to me as chicken soup, because it's not. And also, you want to complain about 9-3 not getting in? The SEC got a team with three losses in last year. It was Alabama. So the committee said that a team in your own conference with the same amount of losses is better than you. They looked at the resumes. It was the same. And they said, this team is better. Also, if you're a team that's losing to a 4-8 team, you're not national championship worthy. And maybe, JP, this is the discussion where the college football playoff has gotten too big.
Yep.
But get the hell out of here with these whining excuses. Go play people and win. Lane Kiffin said yesterday, well, we're just going to have a situation where we're beating each other up. Not if you win your games. If you win your games, you're going to be fine and you're going to get to where you want to go.
So that's it's the thing that I always get to in these conversations. They sold us this dream of the expanded playoff being a better thing for the sport. And what we've gotten to is worse non-conference schedules because of this mentality here. And I think part of it is validated. I agree with you that you should not lose to bad teams in conference. But if you're looking at, like, man, where could we have gotten another win that would have improved our resume? It's scheduling a bad non-conference, right? So we get there, but then we get to this bitching and moaning where we're worried about, well, who's making it in as the last few at-large spots. I really don't care, because to me, whether those teams are good enough or not, which some of them will not be, I'm not exactly sure they deserve the opportunity to be there anyway. Because They didn't do what they needed to do in all the other games that we were so into watching, all the other games that used to matter a lot more, because the you could lose one of those games and be out of it, right? There was finality in losses once upon a time in this sport. And now we're sitting here listening to all the arguments from the teams that were just good enough to be on the bubble that probably weren't going to win it all anyway. I think this whole 12-team playoff, and they want to give us more teams, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We got expansions coming. We got 16 from the SEC and 24 coming from Tony Petitti. They think that's going to be a better setup than what we've had in the past. It's ridiculous.
Steve Sarkisian's got a pie and a college football idea I can get behind, but I'll tell you why it will not happen in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
We'll hear one more thing from Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian speaking at Big Ten Media Days yesterday. And I think to his comments we played in the last segment about last season and them being left out of the college football playoff. And if I'm a Texas fan, I kind of just want him to move on and stop the belly aching, because it
do you
feels a little,
if you're a Texas
if
fan,
I'm a Texas fan, because it does feel like you're just rehashing this as a way to set you up to keep doing it this season when you disappoint.
Right.
Again,
I think the reality, if you're any fan, the reality is like, might be some losses on the schedule.
Yeah.
And if your philosophy and mentality is to go out there and schedule a big one, like, you want to be treated with respect for doing that.
I just win the games.
You know, I'm with you.
Go into the season thinking we're going to run the damn table, but we don't need to have this belly aching.
If we've got 12 spots, there are going to be a lot of teams with some less than perfect resumes that you got to litigate.
And for Sark, he's feeling the heat on the seat. They went out and they got Cam Coleman. They got a bunch of guys out of the transfer portal. They got guys at the transfer portal over the last couple of seasons, but going into this season, they got one of the best guys that was available in Cam Coleman, and this does feel like a national championship or bust Texas team. And here's Sark talking about the decisions that they have to make when getting players out of the transfer portal.
I think in this day and age of the portal and high school, you've got to have the ability to be strategic and to make the moves we make, to bring in a Cam Coleman, to bring in a Hollywood Smothers, yeah, to bring in a Ralique Brown, to bring in a Mike Massounis at tight end. Well, we had to let DeAndre Moore go. We had to let Parker Livingstone go. We had to let Trey Wisner go. We had to let CJ Baxter go. I mean, so this wasn't like we just kept acquiring. We had to let some pretty good players leave to create the cap space to bring those guys in. And I think strategically, you know, there were some tough decisions to make, but we made them. And I think we all can agree we're better around Arch today than we were a year ago at this time. And not only at the skill position, but I think on the offensive line as well.
You know that Leonardo DiCaprio meme when he's sitting in a chair and he's like pointing and whistling?
Yes.
That's when Steve Sarkisian says cap. That's what I point and go to, because they are trying so hard to not make these guys employees and not treat them like the professionals that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they're using phrases like that, and I don't know if he's intending on it. I have a pie analogy, but probably would have worked better for Coach Sarkisian if he wanted to hear it. This is obviously something that everybody deals with. It's just hilarious to hear him say it at that kind of a format, like the Paul Feinbaum show.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the reality, though. And I like your pie analogy. I had a coach, Everett Withers, when he was a defensive coordinator here at Ohio State. He used to say, you can't cut the pie too many ways, right? And so I think these guys are understanding right now that they have a pot of money, and maybe they could go out if they have to and raise a few more dollars, but it pretty much is what it is. And when your run game was as bad as theirs was, and when your wide receiver room maybe was lacking some of the star power that they thought they were going to have at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm,
and that offensive line had some mishaps, yeah, you got to let some guys go so you can get some better players in. That's just the way of the world.
When you just gave the Everett Withers analogy, it made me think of you yesterday talking about the pizza party and cutting it 29 different ways. This slice is too thin. I need more. And this is one thing that is just the reality of college football right now. We saw it this year with Ohio State. Ohio State had to make decisions specifically in their wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people went crazy. Oh, my gosh, how are you going to lose five stars like Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter? How are you going to let these guys go? Well, you already paid them money to get them on campus. They haven't done anything really on the field. You can't pay them more money, especially when you want to bring in a Chris Henry Jr. So you have to make the choice in that wide receiver room. We already have Jeremiah Smith. We already have Brandon Ennis. Those guys aren't going anywhere. We're keeping them. We really want this guy, 15, to come in here and be the next Jeremiah Smith, the next star, the next first-round wide receiver. And we've got other holes we need to fill. So, unfortunately, you lose those guys, and as we talked about, you're not going to have a wide receiver room anymore with five number one draft picks in it like you did in that Rose Bowl a few years ago.
We'll have college football discussion with Tim May coming up in 10 minutes. There's been a lot of laughable things out of the Lone Star State in the last several months, Sark's comments included, but you had Cody Campbell bankrolling some political campaigns to try to push forward his Texas Tech agenda.
What
Ted Cruz is one of the sponsors of the Protect College Sports Act, which I think has about a week to pass the Senate before it just disappears the ether. Ross Dellinger from On3 had reporting, or of Yahoo, excuse me, from On3, the reporting says buried within the Protect College Sports Act is a requirement to hold the championship game by January 8th. Now, that's something I can get behind. But Joshua, I think this is a good civics lesson for everybody that you've got a week to do this, and then they're going to take a break. The Senate is for a month, and then it's the midterms. And if you want to get anything passed, anything at all, good luck.
It's been wild. If you're somebody who doesn't really pay attention to politics, but this has kind of been the first thing that's caught your attention because it affects something you truly appreciate. You're getting the full experience here because this thing is getting ready to die, right? They're going on recess. And then, as you mentioned, we got elections coming up. Like, nothing's going to happen. But in that process, you got some people who were working on this legislation that have no idea what college sports even are and how it operates. These are the people who used to get shoved into lockers by jocks in school that are writing this legislation. Then you've got the special interests. You've got all of the lobbyists. You've got all the commissioners, the people who are telling you how to write it. I'm sure that Tony Petitti has folks that are operating on his behalf that live in Washington
yes.
right now. Right. And then like you're seeing the full process of why this structure is so ineffective to actually get anything done. There are too many people involved. You mentioned Cody Campbell. What he's doing is insane. Insane. He goes to the attorney general of the state of Texas, who is running for Senate, and is basically like, if you want this money, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And guess what? The guy was like, okay, I'll do it. That is crazy, but this is the world of politics.
That's what politics have been forever, right? Whoever has the most money, that's what we're going to do.
Just with the Protect College Sports Act, there's just such a misunderstanding with how college sports actually is. Because there is a college sports as how they want it, is how the decision makers that had the control for years want it, the Nick Sabans of the world, how they want it.
Sure.
And how it actually is. There's such a chasm of difference that if you can't understand what it is right now and what it's barreling towards becoming, let's go back to the way it was is the silliest damn thing.
So I'll say this too, in talking about that whole process, what stands out to me is the one group that didn't have an official seat at the table was the players. It felt like they're operating basically through agents and lawyers and through the court system. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how we're figuring out what the players are trying to achieve in all of this. But when it comes to actually like sitting down and talking to people and being a part of how the legislation is written, I'm not sure that there is a player advocate that is in the room.
No, that when they have these hearings at all of these committees, they do bring on college athletes, but they're the softball players and the volleyball players. And not to disparage them,
it's important.
But their experience, their testimony can't reflect the D1 football player at the biggest state, you, the quarterback for Ohio State, the running back for Tennessee.
Right.
You just, it's just so different. And the fact I keep coming back to is they don't understand why there's the difference, mm-hmm. or what that difference is. Where yep. Maria Cantwell, like the senator from Washington, who's, I think, still very sour grapes over what happened with the Pac-12 in mm-hmm. Washington State, said that you can't just take with the Big Ten and the SEC what they're doing and have that dictate to 500,000 athletes. I'm like, well, if you're including schools like Baldwin, Wallace, and Mount Union
yeah.
in that pool,
we've lost the plot.
You don't know what's going on at all because this, those are so different.
Yeah, it's not really about that. And this is not to disparage them or say that they don't have a place in that they're standing in this world doesn't matter, because it does. But like, this is very particular pertaining to what's happening at the major Division mm-hmm. One level. And how we get all of that to fall into place the way it needs to be.
There's a chance Tim May's going to the Windy City next week for Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Whether or not he does, we'll figure that out when we have him on next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And when you're not listening to Bishop and Friends or watching us on YouTube, check out the Tim May Show featuring Clay Hall on FanStream Sports. Also tonight at 6 on the Buckeye Show, you'll hear Tim May and Pat Murphy from 6 to 8 right before Cincinnati Reds baseball on the Fan. Well, we figured since he's going to be doing so much today, we'd bring him on right now. Tim May, are you going to Big Ten Media Days next week?
Yes, I am. I missed it last year because I wasn't allowed because one of my middle kid was getting married.
Oh, that's
so
right.
As I told Bo, I said I could have gone, but then I would, just as my middle kid was getting married, I'd be getting a divorce after 43 years.
Right.
So
you made the right call.
I opted to make the strongest financial move I could.
You know, it's funny because you're supposed to be retired. At least I thought, like, you retired a little while ago, and and now here you are making the decision between kids' wedding or media days, which you made the right one. But it's still crazy to me that you're getting after it the way you are.
Yeah, but there's really not much difference what I'm doing and what you're doing, Joshua. I mean, we're just shooting the bull, but somebody's paying us to do it. You know what I mean? So that to me, I came out of the womb, I think, talking. You know what I mean? So that to me is the win-win of my lifetime. I didn't like sitting there and typing. I got hunched shoulders and everything else from sitting there typing about 2 million stories over 50 years. And, you know, so I don't necessarily do that anymore. But I do enjoy shooting the bull, especially when the bull is kind of ornery like it is right now, if you follow my drift.
So what you're saying is you're stealing money.
No, I'm not stealing it, because somebody else is making money. When you're talking, you're getting paid, but somebody else is getting paid even more while you're talking. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, it's not stealing. It's called quid pro quo or something like that.
Tim, when you're in Chicago next week, what's the one non-Ohio State storyline that you're interested in?
Well, there's a bunch of those, but one of which is, you know, you don't know. See, this is the thing. It's a story you don't know the answer to until 5 months from now, but can Kurt Cignetti and Indiana do it again? And by that, I don't necessarily mean win the national championship again, but can they be large and in charge and in the hunt again? I truly believe they will be. Number two is maybe is Oregon the best team in the country going into the season? But then where does that leave Ohio State? But maybe the three best. There's a chance the three best programs, three best teams in the country are going to be at Big Ten Media Days over 3 days. And that's pretty cool, because you know what? You used to have to go down south to get that kind of like panache about your conference. And I know, you know, what Nick Saban said the other day, and I just love the fallout that comes from Southeastern Conference Media Days anymore. It's like, you know, well, yeah, but your 14th and 15th teams aren't as good as ours. I go, well, you know what? Maybe or maybe not, but prove it. How do you prove that? But there's no doubt who right now as we sit, who the king of the roost is, the cock of the walk, whatever you want to call it. Is, hey, Joshua, is your as your mom once called my buddy Jeff Snook, the Fabio lookalike. You ever know who the Fabio is walking down the beach, right? But tell her I said that, by the way. I just stayed at his cabin last night. I'm headed to Delaware tonight to go, or right now to go play golf with my buddy Dylan Davis before I come in today. But yeah, right now, you would have to say three of the best programs in the country are the ones I just named. And, you know, USC, fellas, USC has made strides, I'm telling you. I mean, some people don't like to hear that because all the Lincoln Riley haters out there were hoping he'd get fired 2 years ago. But they've stuck around, and they've kind of got their act together from an NIL standpoint. Not I don't think, as much so as like Ohio State or Oregon and maybe even Indiana. But so, yeah, I mean, you look at the Big Ten right now, it is stacked.
Tim, why is it, we heard from Sark the other day at SEC Media Days, why is it, do you believe that when people talk about Texas last year and missing the playoffs, they always bring up the Ohio State game, but nobody talks about the loss to 4-8 Florida?
Oh, well, he did. I heard him talking about it. Their season was on the brink coming back from Florida, and he knew it. And, you know, who knows? They'd lost that game at Kentucky. They could have easily lost the game at Kentucky. I mean, I watched this is how screwed up my life is. I actually watched a replay of the second half of that game the other day. It was just the offense, you know, it was just the plays. It wasn't all the fault or all. And Arch Manning, it took him forever to get his act together with his receivers. I mean, he was throwing the ball where nobody was. You know what I mean? It was, you're just going, all this hype and stuff, and is he even close to what we're thinking? Near the end of the year, he got close to what we're thinking, right? But Sark was that close to being, you know, Tom Herman. Hey, he's not getting the job done. Let's get somebody else. I mean, that's how close it was, because they spent a lot of money on their roster, obviously. But I think they have when you look at their roster, it stacks up with anybody in the country. I don't know if y'all agree or not. I like their roster, but their quarterback has got to, in the big games, has got to play at that championship level. And that'll be the most curious thing I'll be watching this year, especially that second game of the year.
All right, Tim, so I'm going to pull a you. I've got a question, and then I've got a follow-up for you. So the question is...
Quickies? Are they quickies?
Well, the first one's a quickie. The second one, I'm going to need you to lock in. So where are you golfing today is the first question.
Golfing at Oak Haven.
Okay.
Which, by the way, everybody anymore around Central Ohio has great greens.
Mm-hmm.
And this place has great greens. We played there a couple of weeks ago, and he said, let's go back there. We enjoyed it, but... You know, you look around anywhere, they got Rolling Meadows, I mean, Darby Creek, Bittree, all these places have great greens. Question number two.
Okay. Question number two, and you mentioned it, right? Like, the Big Ten probably have three of the top five teams, if not the top three teams in the country. But all the people in the SEC are talking about the middle of the conference and our teams there are better. Do you think that the middle tier of the Big Ten is primed to improve this year?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. The problem is you could be better and it not show in your win-loss record. You know that. I mean, you could have better roster, better players, right on down the line. But that's what I was talking about a while ago about Saban talking about comparing the entire conference. Well, number one, how the hell do you do that? Number two, could you get any worse than like Mississippi State and Kentucky last year? And yet Kentucky almost beats Texas, for example. Just right on down the line, how do you compare it except in bowl games? Wow. Big Ten looked pretty damn good in bowl games. You know, and I remember a couple of years ago when USC wasn't quite back yet, but they beat an SEC team in the season opener, and they beat an SEC team in their bowl game. I mean, what more do you need, right? I mean, to show that the middle of the pack, and that was USC, held sway over two decent SEC teams. I think the only way you really prove things is by playing the games, clearly. Here's the thing. I will say this. The game day atmospheres in almost every Southeastern Conference venue is off the hook. I mean, I think you agree with that. But I've told people a million times, don't mistake the game day atmosphere with the game. And that's the difference. And I really think the Big Ten from top to bottom can hold sway with the SEC from top to bottom There's no doubt about it.
So the game day atmosphere at Arkansas is that much better than the game day atmosphere at Maryland?
Yeah, I would think think it is. Yeah,
when they played Notre Dame. It looked pretty bad out there, Tim.
Yeah, well, that was because Notre Dame. You know what I mean? The bottom line is, that's the thing, Nick Saban. You can draw these little examples out, but you've been to Maryland. If Ohio State's playing at Maryland, they got a hell of a crowd. If it's Purdue playing at Maryland, they don't. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I know, you know exactly what I'm saying. I went to Williams-Brice last year. My baby brother Tony, who's 68, and I went to Williams-Brice Stadium to see Alabama play at South Carolina because I've always wanted to see a game in that stadium. It's one of the great, you know, they've had backing there when they were really bad. And the game day atmosphere, fellas, was ridiculous. It was cool. And Alabama holds sway in the final analysis, gets a big play from a scat back, and they win the game. But the bottom line, the game day atmosphere throughout the game, the pomp, the pageantry, the music, everything was nuts. And so, yeah, I mean, I would think they have the edge in that regard compared to going to, like, you know, Purdue. You name almost any middle tier Big Ten game, the atmosphere is much more off the hook in the Southeastern Conference.
Here I'm on the Buckeye Show tonight with Pat Murphy at 6 o'clock. The Tim May Show with Clay Hall on Fan Stream Sports, wherever it is you do your sports content consuming. Tim, thanks so much for the time today, bud. Enjoy the golf today. Look forward to hearing you tonight at 6, and then safe travels to Chicago next week, bud.
It is always great being on there, being on this show, especially when Joshua is throwing those quickies at me. Appreciate it.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We will, because of 20 Most Interesting in Michigan State, the Spartans are the team of record today at 11 o'clock. We got to do a little what we learned this week. Coming up next, it's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. NFL training camps are ramping up. Rookies for the Browns reported Thursday. Rookies for the Bengals report to Cincinnati on Saturday. Both teams will start full training camps next Tuesday. The Cardinals and Panthers begin the preseason with the Hall of Fame game Thursday, August 6th. In college football, the Columbus Dispatch says Ohio State has sold more season tickets for the 2026 season than any other year since at least 2009. OSU's Ryan Day, Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Jalen McClain head to Chicago next week for Big Ten Media Days. The Chicago Downtown Hilton will host next Tuesday through Thursday. The Buckeye contingent will talk on Wednesday. In baseball, the Guardians enter the weekend a game and a half back of the White Sox in the AL Central. Cleveland's at Tampa tonight at 7:10. The Reds are in St. Louis Friday at 8:15. Hear that game on the Fan following the Buckeye Show. This update is sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
You know, Steve Sarkisian's argument works really well if you don't lose to Florida.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest portion of it is go out and beat that team, and then we'll start to have conversations if you get left out.
Because I understand how he feels, where if they're leaving him out, okay, then what am I going to do? Why am I doing the Notre Dame thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you heard from Alabama, and there was the rumbling of disinterest from the Crimson Tide in having that Ohio State home and home scheduled, because what the hell are we going to play that for anyway? Why would you play a team from the
Big Bad Big Ten? You wouldn't want to do that.
While we're all kind of Nick Saban, the media member, and like, yeah, all 12 games should be against Power 5 competition.
Sure.
That's just not going to happen.
Would never.
So I do want that scheduling to continue, and I would hope that the committee could get it, and they'll never get it together because there'll always be different people. Because I think Ward Manuel's not on it anymore.
We should go back to computers.
Well, there was that algorithm a long time ago, and it feels like that might be working better than the committee that every single week kind of moves the goalposts, and at the end of the season, or 2 weeks before the end of the season, they say something that they've got to back up at the end of the season that doesn't make any sense.
You start looking
in the
at
given
them
moment.
Shuffling teams around. Both teams won during a certain week, but you're shuffling them around because you're setting the table for what you're getting ready to do at the end. I hate it.
We didn't like the computers, Joshua, because we only had two teams then. But if we're going to do it this way, the computers make all the sense in the world. I mean, we see it in high school football here in Ohio. Yeah. There's a computer system that finds out the teams. And I would argue that there's too many teams in the playoffs now in high school football, quite frankly. I never agree with expansion and playoffs. But gosh, if we want 12 and we want no arguments, no automatic qualifiers, yep, the computers spit out the 12 best teams and let's go.
To your point. We would sit there and we would be like, oh, the team that came in at third or the team that came in at fourth might have been the team that we thought should have gotten in with the BCS formula, picking the top two teams, right? And one of the smaller teams, they'll never get the proper credit they deserve from the computers, but we think they're a better team. Well, now the playoffs bigger, all those teams would have been captured. Let's just go back to the computers.
Were you a JJ Huddle guy in high school?
Yeah.
Did you lurk the forums or did you, Joshua Perry, I'm going to yell at you about this.
I am still a forum lurker. It is sick the amount of forums that I have subscriptions to.
Because Baker talks about like the computer point system for Ohio high schools. And I was on the Upper Arlington football team when I was in high school. I didn't play much because terrible, but I would always just kind of lurk and see what the computer points would say and then see like the folks on the Huddle forums mad about the computers.
Mm-hmm. People on forums, their only thing is to be mad. That is the default.
It's such a fond memory I have though. I don't do it anymore because, you know, it doesn't help my mental
state.
You
should try it.
Yeah, I'm going to pass, but I will take your word for it. And I think we've even got high school football starting up on the Fan in a month?
A month from today.
Wow.
Is the first from today.
Friday night football game on the Fan.
Jeez.
By the way, if we would have done the college football playoff last year.
Thank you.
According to the BCS.
Thank you.
Texas would not be in it.
There we go. And that would settle it for me. I wouldn't hear the argument. I would rather default to the computers. But if we're going to be subjective on this, then I think the committee needs to actually evaluate the inputs. That's why I don't like the committee. I don't think they do it.
The arguments sound for we're scheduling tough opponents out of conference. You need to reward us for this is sound. It's just the messenger that I dislike with it because they lost to 4-8 Florida and they got their ass kicked by Georgia.
Yeah.
If it works the way for Sarkisian this year and they're able to say that week two game win and then run the table, all is well.
And to that point, too, about what happened with Florida and Georgia, Tim May brought up the Kentucky game, which was an ugly one for them. Do y'all remember what happened when they played Mississippi State? Like, they were down. It took a fourth quarter rally, like a crazy one for them to come back. Like, they didn't look like a competent football team for a lot of the year. So, for many reasons, I don't want to acknowledge this take, but I do understand this idea of you told us you wouldn't punish us too bad, and I feel like you're not living up to that word.
And JP, I don't want this to sound homerish from me because I am the same person who said, and I know a lot of Buckeye fans don't like this, I am the same person that said Ohio State in 2024, were they the best team? Probably, but they didn't play like it. I'm the same person that said they didn't deserve to play for a national championship after that loss to Michigan. And I know a lot of Buckeye fans don't like that. And luckily, the playoff expanded that year, and Ohio State was able to get it in, and they had the maybe greatest four-game run we've ever seen in Ohio State history and the greatest half of football I've ever seen in that Rose Bowl against the first half against Oregon. So I don't want this to sound homerish. Like, I'm going to be the same way all the way around. And I just, you lost to 4-8 Florida. A national championship team doesn't do that.
Yeah. No, I was very much the same way in 24 as well. And it's been my whole thing because people, when I argue against the 12-team playoff, they're like, well, Ohio State would have never gotten that championship. And my response back to that would have been, that's a reflection of the regular season that they had. And what are we doing in regards to that? So I think there are a lot of things that are going on here. I'm with you. Like, the great teams typically don't lose to really awful teams. And I think you have to wear that when you do.
Yeah. And that's for the SEC, really the messenger of this, because they're doing this conversation. They're having these conversations. They're talking Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian yesterday. And then there's talk from the commissioner about just leaving the NCAA. And it really comes at a bad time for them because they just kind of sound whiny. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, things aren't going your way. So what? You're just going to leave? real quick, I've got to do this because, well, sponsors.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Especially when it's High Bank.
Yeah, that's right. You got to take care of the people.
We got to shout them out.
We definitely can't short High Bank.
That's the best place to have lunch, happy hour, dinner, brunch. You name the time to go get a drink and something to eat. There are three locations. I would go to any one of them, even after the show, if anybody was interested. But I know we're busy on a Friday. We usually do What We Learn This Week at 11 o'clock, but Michigan State, our 20 most interesting program series, is where we're going to go to East Lansing at 11 o'clock. We'll have Doug LaMaurice coming on at 10:30. I'm interested to hear kind of his perspective on all of this SEC secession conversation that you've mixed in with scheduling out of conference. We've got 9 games. The 9-3 is better than your 11-1. An actual SEC head coach said it. Lane Kiffin used 2,800 words to get his several points across. He wishes he'd have done the Ole Miss thing differently. Steve Sarkisian.
That actually pisses me off.
Go ahead.
The wishes he did the Ole Miss thing differently.
Well,
everybody was telling you were doing it poorly.
He's got regrets, JP.
And you're like, oh no, this is my process. You had my guy, Marty Smith, out there. This dude, he packed one outfit and probably should have had two or three. I know he was thinking, staking you out, trying to wait for the decision. And everybody said it was wrong. And now it's like, oh, well, I wish I would have done it differently. You knew at the time.
Sorry, guys. I felt for Marty in that moment, too, because the lack of outfits, the having to drive or figure out where Lane's going to be and chasing him to the airport. But Marty Smith's probably got the best hair on the air of any of us. And the amount of product that he's probably got to take with him, I can't imagine for a week trip fits in a TSA-specific bottle.
Oh, man.
So he might have to do the thing of getting it shipped to him at his hotel. But, yeah, the idea that everybody said, Lane, what you're doing is not the right way to go about leaving Ole Miss for LSU at the time you're doing it.
He's like, nah, I got it.
And then for him, because I remember him, it was the Egg Bowl, I think, he confronted a reporter over the phrasing of can't turn a hoe into a housewife.
Yeah,
which, Lane, you can't act right after doing that, and he didn't. And now to come up and use his 2,800 words to be like, I'm sorry about that. Sarkisian, talking about the scheduling and being left out of the playoff, is also pulling a Nate Oates and other coaches who are taking professionals, guys that have been in an NFL training camp, and trying to bring them back. So this is Cole Hudson secured a temporary restraining order that allows him to return to college football despite entering the draft. He wasn't drafted, but he participated in the Browns and Cowboys rookie mini camps. He's going to have a preliminary injunction hearing set for August 3rd. Hudson played 4 years in Austin, appeared in 48 games. He had 23 starts for the Longhorns. Sarkisian told The Athletic yesterday, quote, if it ultimately all goes through, we're getting a veteran player, right? At the end of the day, there's nothing like having an experienced player on your team, in your locker room, in the offensive line room. What does the future hold? I don't know. I haven't seen Cole. It's been 7 months since the last time we played. So there's a lot we kind of have to sort through and unpack. But if we're fortunate enough to have him back, it'll be great, end quote. You can't ask for guardrails, or you can't ask for rules. You can't ask for enforcement if you're not willing to follow basic rules that everybody's bemoaning.
Launch them into the sun, all of them. This is the crazy part about it. We're going to break off from the rest of the sport because we want to be able to enforce rules. Except when you have a guy who declared for the draft and didn't work out for him, we'll just bring him right back.
This is why I've always said it can't come from these coaches, because they can't help themselves. Cody Campbell, I'm trying to be part of the solution, but until we get one, I'm going to do this. And Sark, oh, you know, we got to have these things in place, but they're not yet. So let's bring him on back. Let's do it. Let's have more lawsuits. And Reese, by the way, one thing I just learned this week, it may be the most important thing. I feel like you just posed a Friday post-show meeting at High Bank, and I'm all for it.
Again, something I'd be willing to do, not just this Friday, but Fridays in the future. Ohio State fans, you're doing your part. That's next. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
T-Bone and Tyvis is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
A thing that's like, this will make a meal for a family. It's talking like a family of four, and I'm in the family. So I count as like three right off the bat.
Mornings on the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of filtered sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
And Bishop and Friends is proudly sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. We got a lot to get through on a Friday. We'll have our 20 most interesting programs at 11. Michigan State is the team today. The host of the Locked On Spartans podcast, Matt Sheehan, will join us at 11:30. Doug Maurice will join us coming up here in 11 minutes, as usual. 11:30 spot. Well, that's where Sparty's going to occupy today. Before we get to Ohio State and season ticket records, I'm seeing this from Yahoo Sports. Baker put it in front of me in the break. Vince Goodwill, who covers the NBA for Yahoo, says LeBron James had been angling for Kyrie Irving to join him on the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the Mavericks have shown no interest in trading Irving, and he is, quote, believed to be comfortable in Dallas. Baker came in and asked me the question, would you take LeBron back if it meant Kyrie Irving? And I'll tell you this, as a Cavs fan who watched Kyrie and LeBron, I know it was 10 years ago, win a championship, I would rather have them over Donovan Mitchell and James Harden, because I've seen the ceiling for Donovan and James. I'm good with LeBron and Kyrie over that tandem.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think Kyrie is such a loose cannon.
Yes.
And LeBron feels like one of the few people that could really get him reined in the right way for a season. But he feels like a little bit of a risk just from like a personality standpoint more than anything at this point. Sensational, phenomenal player.
Yeah.
Like, would I like to see that reunion? I think for selfish reasons, yes. I think if you're an organization, you're probably looking at that and it's like, all right, we got one guy who's at the end of the road and one guy who's just does things a little bit different. And like, if we don't win, we might not feel so great about having done this.
And I wonder for the trade that would have to be made to acquire Irving, Mobley, Donovan Mitchell. I know Mitchell just signed that max extension. And so I don't know which piece would have to move, because you're not just, if you're Cleveland, just saying, well, we'll send you James Harden. Like, Dallas Mavericks aren't making that kind of a move, so it would have to be a piece of substance.
Yes.
Well, their old GM might have, but not the new one.
Nico Harrison might have.
Nico might have, but
yes.
The new guy along with Dusty May, no, wouldn't do that. So we're on day 24 of LeBron watch, and I think this rolls until Monday at the least.
Well,
at the latest.
Monday's when the
Heat are going to have their press conference.
For the Heat. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
How could I forget?
It's going to be on YouTube.
Miami Heat will be acquiring Kyrie Irving as well with their acquisition of Giannis Antetokounmpo from earlier in the offseason.
Imagine having this much juice as a 41-year-old hooper.
He's a unicorn.
24 days of where is he going to be? And people are interested. Like, mm-hmm. This is something that people have to talk about at his big age.
I think it sucks, too, and me and a good friend of mine who's a huge LeBron guy were having this discussion last night. I think it sucks that it always has to be an argument where you pit LeBron against Jordan. You're either a Jordan guy or you're... What, I wish more people could just be like, it doesn't matter who's the best. These are the two greatest we've ever seen do it and appreciate the greatness.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate the greatness. One of them has a left hand, the other one didn't, but that's neither here nor there.
It's like picking a kid. You know, they're both great equally.
Oh, no. Parents pick favorites.
Well, I've learned the older I've
James
gotten.
James is my favorite.
That is absolutely true with every parent. And if you've told yourself that's not the case, I think it's you're doing a little bit of performance art there. For the Buckeyes, and I have long maintained that when it comes to finances, Ohio State should just be as transparent as possible and shout from the mountaintops, here's what we're spending. I applaud Ross Bjork on saying we look to be, in the next couple of years, the first $500 million athletic department in terms of what they're going to be spending, because that's what it costs to do this if you want to do 36 varsity sports at the highest level. What Ohio State spends on NIL, what that roster nonsense from a couple of years ago, that $20 million roster that Desmond was always bitching about on College Game Day.
No, and then
I always said it's a good.
Dude, imagine the world we're in.
Their poverty program can't keep up.
They were spending. They just didn't say it.
They shouldn't say it.
Like, that's the part that bothered me the most. But think about that. They were bitching and moaning about $20 million. And that's not, you're not even in the realm of spending right now. 2 years later.
I think that, you know, Ohio State, and I don't know exactly the process behind this, but the Columbus Dispatch reported Thursday Ohio State football sold 57,304 season tickets to the public, faculty, and staff in 2026. Those figures were provided to the Dispatch in response to a public records request. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's Ohio State trying to gatekeep that information, but if I'm the Buckeyes and I've got a season ticket record that's been they've sold more season tickets for 2026 than any year since 2009. If I'm Ohio State, I think as soon as I pass that record, or as soon as I, in 17 years, we haven't sold as much as we are this year, I'm telling everybody I can.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were holding on to it and they were getting ready to. I don't know the case there, but I agree with you. Like, these are easy wins.
Like, good job, Ohio State fans, for understanding the assignment.
These
right?
are easy wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we have sold, we're as popular as we have ever been. And people want to be a part of this more than they've ever wanted to be a part of it. I think that's a very easy thing to sell. They're probably getting ready to, but for whatever reason, they hadn't yet.
I know there's probably a big Ohio State football announcement coming up in the next couple of days. You know,
whatever could that be?
Well, we don't know because it hasn't been announced, but we'll just be waiting for that. And it sounds like there might be something as they're at Big Ten Media Days. Again, you hear so many things when you do this job, obviously, that you wonder what's the truth. We do the real truth on Tuesdays on this program. Turkey Bass in the YouTube chat say, don't start that BS. There's always favorites. Thank you for calling me on that.
My mom just texted me and said that she doesn't pick favorites, and I know that's a lie. Come on, Mom, tell the truth.
I'm definitely my mom's favorite.
I know, no doubt.
I know that my brother is my parents' favorite. So I get it.
Yeah.
From the standpoint for Ohio State and selling the season tickets they have, 57,304, it's up from last year, 56,537. Again, the highest since 2009. The recent high was 56,998. That was back in 2024. When Ross Bjork sits there and has press conferences where he's, I don't know if challenging is the right word, but encouraging Ohio State fans to do their part. I think of the Starship Troopers meme, go, I'm doing my part. And then they mix in one of the comedians go, I didn't do bleep. Well, this for Ohio State fans, they're doing their part.
Yeah.
You're adding to the pot.
No, I mean, people are, they're showing up. They're spending their money on these tickets. They're spending their money on other things, right? Like, this is the spot that you want to be in. And by the way, there are a lot of programs right now that are battling. They are fighting to get people in the door. They're fighting to provide them a game day experience that they want to be a part of and a product on the field that those people would be proud of. And we've got a lot going here. So
yeah,
part of this is might get a little bit rough during the season, some ups and some downs when you're watching the games. They might not all win them the way you want them to, but let's appreciate what we've got rocking over here.
I wonder if when you re-upped or you bought your season tickets, if there was a box you could check for rounding up.
I'm sure
to
there
the nearest
was
dollar
more than a roundup.
Because I know with some season tickets, you get the opportunity to make a donation that provides you access. This isn't something that's just here in Columbus. Like other schools do that all over the country. The leaders and the best, as they like to call themselves in Michigan, have similar season ticket plans and packages and do similar things to try to make more money for the university, for the university's athletic department. But this, you know, when we think of changes in college athletics, we think of changes in college football, because we all know college football is the driver. I step out, you know, I have a take, and then I step back and I go, how does this affect Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of this, it doesn't.
No.
Playoff expansion, the coaches complaining about scheduling and conference games and power games outside of the conference. And I go, Ohio State's exempt from this.
Yeah, it's I appreciate, and this goes back to the like the DGG recruitment and everything, but it feels like Ohio State is pretty much stuck to their guns on who they want to be as a department, as a program in this new world. And that is, we are Ohio State. We are the brand. We are the program of record. And we, like, give us all the changes. We're just going to adapt. And we're going to do it through our lens of what we believe is going to make us successful. And ultimately, we'll probably achieve it.
And that's a credit to everybody that's involved with the Ohio State Athletic Department. Even Nevada guest speaker Urban Meyer.
He texted me last night. Nevada guest speaker Urban Meyer did text me last night.
Everybody knows Urban. So I understand, especially I think it's his son-in-law is the offensive coordinator.
At UNLV.
Yes. So everybody knows everybody in college athletics. We're always thrilled on Fridays to be joined by Doug LaMaurice. He will come on an hour earlier than normal. We'll get to him in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Friends are the guests and listeners.
Reza and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you on this Friday edition. We're here until noon. We go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Doug LaMaurice, great friend of the program. The Bill and Doug Show, Ohio State Football Talk on YouTube, BillandDougShow.com. He will be at Big Ten Media Days next week in Chicago. But before we get to there, Doug, I kind of want to walk with you to Tampa. And this week, coming out of the Southeastern Conference, of all the belly aching that was done, which was your favorite bit of bitching from them?
Probably like the Eli Drinkwitz stuff at the start, right? It is not the whole thing. Doesn't it all feel like parody at this point? Like the whole, it used to be that SEC Media Days was like the center of the college football universe. And now it feels like a skit of itself. And that's the thing that I like the most and I think like the consensus around the sport is like that of, oh my God, what are they going to puff themselves up about this year? What are they going to complain about this year? Like they used to be cool and now they're laughable. And so I don't know. It's hard to decide sometimes because it feels like it's all a joke.
Yeah, the secession conversation coming out of the South's been going on for hundreds of years. And I wonder, Doug, is there any part of that we'll just leave that maybe gets not the same kind of, not to a 10, like they cranked up the level on that discussion this week in Tampa, but next week from Tony Petitti in the Big Ten, is there any part of that where they actually verbalize that we've had those conversations too?
You know, I will say that probably is the one thing where, I mean, I'm never sympathetic to the SEC, but I do think like if Congress thinks they're going to dictate to the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to force the SEC and the Big Ten to do things like that's, it's just not realistic. You know, like the Big Ten, the SEC, they have the money, they have the power, they have the interest, they have the fan bases, they have the TV ratings. Like they get to swing their weight around here. So I don't know if the Big Ten is going to threaten the same kind of thing. But I'm actually kind of okay with the SEC threatening it because I don't think it's going to happen. I think it'd be terrible for the sport. But I think Congress needs a reminder of, like, you have to do this with the SEC and Big Ten. You can't do it to the SEC and the Big Ten because if you force them into something they don't like, then they'll leave. So, like, I don't think it'll happen. But I almost appreciate the threat, and I sort of would rather have, like, the goofballs down there do the threat than have the Big Ten do the threat. Like, I don't think the Big Ten has to threaten it because the SEC already has, right? But, like, Congress has to understand that. You can't build a world based on evening things out for the Big 12 and the ACC. Like, there can be, you know, fairness without it being entirely equal, right? So, like, I almost kind of appreciate them doing that.
I do, too, in a sense. It feels so far out there that it just comes off a little bit crazy. But I wanted to ask you about this because we are seeing a different side of Nick Saban. We got Media Nick right now. And one of the comments that he made is that you can't just judge the best conference off of who has won the title. So what did you make of Nick Saban's defense of the SEC there?
Is it appropriate to call the greatest coach in college football history a crazy old man? Can I say that, or is that not cool?
Like, I don't think he's the greatest coach ever anyway, so you can go ahead and say whatever you need to say.
Like, what is he talking about? All we did for 20 years was judge the SEC off who won the national title. Nick Saban carried that conference on his back for 20 years, and they absorbed everything Bama did and acted like because Bama did this, that meant that LSU and Florida and everybody else was good too. So now it's completely flipped, but now we're not supposed to do that. Like, it's laughable. It's hypocritical. I think he's like, but again, like Tom Brady's walking around doing WWE stuff, right? So people are in Bill Belichick, right? I mean, are we serious? Why are our greatest football people completely ruining their own legacies? Do people not know how to retire anymore? When I'm done with this stuff, I'm done. I'm not going to have a 25-year-old girlfriend, and I'm not going to be walking around being a hypocrite about stuff. Just leave the scene. Nick, you've done your thing, bro. Tom Brady, you don't have to get in a fight with Logan Paul. Like, these our greatest football people are buffoons right now, and it's sad.
Don't forget that Sankey said they're better because they put 80,000 in each stadium every week as well. I can't get over Steve Sarkisian's comments talking that they missed the playoff last year because they lost to Ohio State, and he doesn't say, hey, we lost to 4-8 Florida. That's why we didn't make the playoff. And then in the same statement, he also says, until our 9-3 teams are getting in, well, Doug, didn't they get a 9-3 team in last year in Alabama? Like, I just don't understand Sark's comments.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where you need like fact checkers, right? Like, you almost like want to stand up and be like, well, actually, that's not right. That's not true. That's not a fact, right? But I do think, again, this goes back to, I think there was a time when the SEC said stuff like that. They just kind of railroaded it through. And now, like, it feels like most people raise their hands and say, nope, that's not right. Now, maybe not the people down there in the moment, but the rest of the sport understands that the SEC view of the world, like, is wrong, right? It's like almost like objectively wrong, right? So I do think we all have to continue to call it out. We have to make sure that we don't bend the structure of the sport to their will. And like, I think all of that is not happening, right? Like, they don't just get to decide stuff. So we know it's wrong. Right. We're not the only, it's not just a radio show in Columbus, Ohio, that's having these discussions. Like, everybody knows the stuff that they say is not reality.
Doug LaMaurice is our guest, the Bill and Doug Show, talking Ohio State football on YouTube, BillandDougShow.com, where you want to get that. From a football perspective, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for Big Ten Media Days, who's a team, who's a coach or a player, not Ohio State related, that you're interested in talking with or hearing from?
Yeah, it's hard for me because, like, I simultaneously do not believe in Lincoln Riley at all anymore, but I'm also very intrigued by USC this year. I'm really intrigued by Jaden Maiva. I'm intrigued by whether, you know, they can make up for the loss of the two great receivers. Is there a greater depth of talent there? Like, we know their recruiting class was good. Are they going to have a couple true freshmen who can make an impact? I think when you think about Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State, they're about as much of a sure thing. Like, I believe in Indiana, right? So I'm willing to put them on that page. I think they're three playoff teams. But as you think about the rest of the league, right, like, what if USC is really good? Because they play all these teams like that. Like, USC being good is such an elevator for the conference, and we're going to find out. Like, they have a tough schedule. They can't run and hide. But if they have a big win or two, like, really interesting for the conference. And Lincoln Riley has done it before. He just hasn't done it there. So are they ready? Is this the new era of USC starting? Or is this like nope, she's not working there. He's not going to be the USC coach in 2 years. I'm super intrigued to get a vibe from USC at Big Ten Media Days.
So I'll ask this in the context of all of the SEC commentary from this week, but is the middle of the Big Ten, or maybe even some of the teams like UCLA, for example, who hired a new coach, or Michigan State, are any of those teams poised to take a bigger step to close that gap with the top of the conference?
Yes, I think they are. Now, it is. I think that's the next step of this, right? That the Big Ten is so much better at the top than the SEC, it's no longer an argument, as you guys have laid out. The SEC has given that up. Nobody in the SEC argues their top is better than the Big Ten, so they lean on depth. I don't think that's true either. And I think the depth of the Big Ten is going to show itself. Now, the difficult thing is, how do you show it? Well, like, you probably need to have like a second-tier team beat a tier-one team. So, like, what does that look like? Is that really going to happen? Because Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon are, like, really good. But I do think UCLA, like, I do think Washington. I'm super interested to see if Wisconsin and Luke Fickle can kind of get it back a little bit, right? Like, I do, I think, you know, not that Michigan State's going to do it overnight, but Pat Fitzgerald's won in this conference before, right? Like, what's Caden Hauser at Illinois going to be like? I do think there's good programs in there. Penn State doesn't play anybody, but I like Rocco Beck. I like Matt Campbell. I'm curious about them. So, like, I do sort of expect that. But also, man, it's hard to beat Oregon and Indiana and Ohio State. So it's not just about those mid-tier teams. It's about, are those top teams vulnerable enough to allow one of those teams to knock them off?
Doug, you're first to the podium next week for anyone. It could be Ryan Day, it could be Tony Petitti, it could be Dan Lanning, it could be Kurt Cignetti. What's the one question you want answered the most?
I want answered the most. It's probably Tony Petitti stuff about what, like, what do you really think is best for the Big Ten and best for the future of college football, right? So, like, I understand the 24-team playoff argument. Like, I don't think it has to happen. I'm not against it. I think it can work. I think it would work. But I still think sometimes they don't do a great job explaining themselves. So I still am, you know, the ball is great and I'm ready to talk ball. But I'm always interested to try to get Tony Petitti to be somewhat truthful about what he thinks about the future of the conference and the sport.
Doug, appreciate the time. As always, safe travels to Chicago next week. We look forward to hearing from you post Big Ten Media Days next week, bud.
Thanks, fellas. Always fun. I'll see you.
Get Bill and Doug talking Ohio State football on YouTube, BillandDougShow.com. For that, he joined us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. A major non-conference clash scheduled for later this year is reportedly off. We'll tell you about that next. Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You know Buckeye football. These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
You know, this week as we talk about NIL deals and demands from high school recruits and potential jersey patches that may or may not be coming in the next week, you know, with the desire for more money, there are casualties. And if this is to be, I got this from Kim in the YouTube chat, said, we just got rid of our season tickets that have been in the family since 1968. When they reset the stadium, we lost our fabulous seats because we don't have thousands of NIL dollars to donate. And that goes to our Ohio State conversation where they've got preseason ticket sales that have exceeded every year since at least 2009. And so I want to commend Ohio State and Ohio State fans for navigating as best as possible in this new world. That's a shame that families are being priced out in that way.
Yeah, no, it's a really unfortunate thing that's happening. And it's like the callous way of saying it is kind of the price of doing business, right? Like you want to stay competitive and you want to continue to raise funds and you want to have a team that you're proud of. Part of that is like the price has to go up. I hate seeing it because I've met a lot of fans over my time as a player and then coming back to Columbus, and like they are working as hard as they can to get to one game a year, let alone somebody who had season tickets and now they feel like they can't do something that was part of their fall tradition. So that part absolutely stinks. And it goes back to this idea that I think a lot of us have where we appreciated the days where it felt a little bit more collegiate and that it was a little bit more accessible and the money, the almighty dollar, wasn't the most important thing.
And certainly I romanticize back to the days where you could take your bike from Upper Arlington into the Horseshoe and you could throw the football around on the field.
Yeah.
And now it, because of the demands, you're doing stadium tours that you've got to pay for. And all of these things mean that the average fan, the family of four that's had generational tickets, gets priced out of that. And that it does hurt the game day experience when you have that kind of passion and pride and you talk about the tradition, the people.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't excellent.
Right.
It's crazy how much all of it has changed. You talk about going out and throwing the ball on the field.
Yeah.
My dad talked about playing on the field on Sundays up there. It was the old AstroTurf and they're running around and playing pickup games of football out there. And I don't think that has totally changed because of money. I think there's other things in the world that have changed that caused that. But it is different now how every little bit of blood you can squeeze out of that turnip has to happen. And it's super unfortunate that there are. I don't think there are a lot of stories like the one you just said, but it's super unfortunate that there's one.
I had forgotten that Amazon Prime, in their attempt to get into college athletics and attempt to get into live sports, they signed a deal with Duke for NIL money and the rights to broadcast Duke Blue Devils games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we had talked about it, Joshua, this was back in April, if that would run afoul of ESPN, the ACC's rights holder. And it looks like, while it might not have been ESPN, it might have been another broadcast network.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
And it might be Fox. It might be CBS. But ESPN is reporting, this from Jeff Borzello, that the December 21st game between Duke and Michigan in men's college hoops is off. It was originally scheduled December 21st for Madison Square Garden. It was going to be broadcast on Amazon Prime. It was then attempted to be moved from MSG to the Miami Marlins Stadium. I think it's Lone Depot Park. The parties couldn't come to a final agreement. Duke's going to play Texas Tech at MSG December 21st. That game will be on Amazon Prime. And ESPN to placate ESPN, Duke allowed future scheduling opportunities for the worldwide leader in this thing, or not a thing.
I mean, I think it's a thing that Fox probably is like shaking their head. You know, they it's been with this media rights deal that they've locked themselves into with the Big Ten. It has been largely in the favor of Fox and not the other media partners, and not necessarily the conference members, except for the fact that they're getting a big fat check from Fox. But they are to the letter on everything that they have agreed to within that deal, and I think that's the thing.
This is a thing, and it's something I believe we talked about when this first happened was, well, I wonder how
with
the
Duke
Big Ten
signing
and,
that deal.
And Fox, you know, how are they going to go over that? Because they have the rights with, and this wasn't like a technical home game. This was a neutral site game. Mm-hmm. So how this was going to go over. And I don't think this is any surprise. And I wonder how much this was Fox and how much this was the Big Ten, because we know Tony Petitti doesn't want to give anybody anything for free, and he's going to want to make as much money as possible. So I wonder if Tony Petitti said, well, hey, we'll do this, or with Fox, you know, in conjunction with Tony. Yeah, but we need a little cut of the pie here. We need some money for this. So I don't think this, it is a thing, but I don't think this is a surprising thing because we talked about this right off the first mention.
On Thursday, the Baltimore Ravens waived Heisman Trophy runner-up Diego Pavia. The move was made to free up a roster spot for 9-year veteran center Ethan Posick. Posick started 97 games for the Seahawks and the Browns. He's coming off an Achilles injury last season. Baltimore's got four quarterbacks heading into camp, or four quarterbacks on the roster as of right now. Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley, Skylar Thompson, and someone named Joe Fagnano. Thing or not a thing?
So the thing here is Diego Pavia went from being a huge fun success story and a bit of a college football hero, lifting Vanderbilt, showing that a guy who's maybe not the right measurables can win, to a villain because he's a jerk and he loves some Diego and he let everybody know that. And I think it is insane to see the reaction to this news because you had so many people actively rooting for him to fail in the NFL. And so if there is anything in there, it's like people were laughing at Diego and we got some great memes yesterday.
This really isn't a thing to me because I think this was kind of expected. We knew it was going to be an uphill climb for Diego to make it in the NFL. His story is so interesting and it's kind of in some ways similar to a Johnny Manziel, and we saw how much limitations there were to Johnny in the NFL, and yet Pavia is small, super small, just like a Dylan Gabriel. And Dylan Gabriel is a guy who does everything right, Reese, but we see even with him there's limitations and there's going to be a ceiling with him that he's never going to be able to overcome because of that size. And it looks like Dylan Gabriel might be a casualty of the Cleveland Browns at some point here. So this is not really a thing because it was expected.
Diego Pavia's program height is 5'10". And while I'm never one, certainly me, to height shame somebody, that's the program height. For me, 5'10 is gigantic, but probably not to even Dylan Gabriel's point, tall enough to play in the NFL. Our 20 most interesting programs to wrap up this week takes us to East Lansing and the Michigan State Spartans in year one under Pat Fitzgerald. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. NFL training camps ramp up this weekend with full camp starting next Tuesday for the Browns and the Bengals. Cincinnati rookies report to camp on Saturday. The preseason begins in 13 days. In other news, ESPN says Super Bowl 62 will be played Sunday, February 13th, 2028. That game will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. This likely means the NFL will not go to an 18-game regular season after this upcoming year. In baseball, the Guardians enter the weekend a game and a half back of the White Sox in the AL Central. Cleveland's at Tampa tonight at 7:10. Reds are on the road this weekend. Cincinnati's at St. Louis Friday at 8:15. You can hear that game on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. In college hoops, a broadcast rights dispute has reportedly derailed a non-conference game in December between Michigan and Duke. That game was supposed to be played at Madison Square Garden. The Blue Devils will play Texas Tech December 21st. That game will be on Amazon Prime. This update is sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream's back at UDF. Get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10.
Reeser's mustache is so nice, it has its own area code.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, that oopsie daisy in the update, my mind was on Michigan State. The Spartans are our program today and 20 most interesting, but Michigan was scheduled to play Duke on Amazon Prime December 21st. The game was going to be at Madison Square Garden, but a broadcast rights dispute, that's how ESPN's putting it out there, has now moved Michigan off the docket. Texas Tech slides in to play Duke, still in Madison Square Garden on Amazon Prime. You know, the Red Raiders are going to be playing football games at Galaxy Stadium in Lubbock this fall. Texas Tech's probably going to get a cut of that Amazon Prime money. Find it how you can get it.
Cody Campbell was probably like, hey, y'all want to do business?
There's nobody he won't do business with. And the difference that he has probably paramount to any other big money billionaire booster is his comes from the ground.
Yeah.
And he's got unlimited enthusiasm because he played for Texas Tech.
You know, do you know his story with the businesses, the energy businesses?
So we have CBS Sports Shahan Jayaraja on with us all the time when we're discussing the Red Raiders. And he was kind of the first to throw the Cody Campbell story where I could see it. And it's very similar to, I don't know if you've seen Landman.
No.
With John Hamm's character, Monty, and oil and mineral rights in the Permian Basin in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that story.
Yeah, I mean, he's built businesses and exited. He builds them and then sells them. And he's on like his fourth or fifth one right now. That's how you make a lot of money doing what, because he's just like same template, do it again, do it again. And to your point, played for that program. He is on the board of trustees of that university.
He runs that university.
No, I mean, it's like he is
the
guy.
We can have that. We can say that.
It's, yeah, no doubt.
And Texas Tech's not alone with the big money from one person runs a university. But there right now is run by a former offensive lineman for the Red Raiders.
Well, he thought that he was running the Big 12. And was like, hey, this ain't that.
I mean, so he might have overplayed his hand a little bit there trying to drag Ken Paxton into this, the attorney general in the state of Texas. But he had Big 12 come to him at a stockyard in Fort Worth and do dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know another booster that's got the conference coming to see you to try to figure out a path forward.
Well, I know a few. If it ever got tenuous up here, I know a few where there would be some sort of a meeting to get things straightened out.
For Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is coming soon. Join us August 6th through August 8th, the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State Football Training Camp, presented by Safelite and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. Tickets are limited and going fast. Just $48 for general admission or upgrade to VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. Don't miss your chance to be out there to see Bo Bishop live Thursday and Friday. And then if you're out there on Saturday, you can throw things at Jeff Fitoff.
I think I'm going to be out there on the 6th, as a matter of fact, with some of my pals from NBC. So I'll make sure to stop by, visit you guys, and also stop by and mingle with the people.
And throw things at Jeff Fitoff, because they'll have footballs available. Like, they obviously will sell things to you so you can go and get players to autograph. You know, those are fine. And you want to hold those in your mantle. You want to hang those up on your wall. But also, if you want to buy things to throw at Tito, you're helping out Ohio State's name, image, and likeness efforts, and you are providing a good work to the community.
Be careful, though, throwing things at Tito, because
he's got good hands.
He could easily fall and break a hip, and at his age, you may not be able to come back from that.
Yikes.
So be careful.
Tito's like, what, 45? He just looks like he's 62. You know, time comes for us all, and we think what's coming down the pipeline is an 18-game NFL regular season. I didn't botch the read there in the update. You heard that the 2028 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 62, will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. We now have a date for that, Sunday, February 13th. Adam Schefter's putting the dots together that if Super Bowl 61's played on February 14th, Super Bowl 62, February 13th of their respective years, you're getting just 17 games this season and next season, and then maybe in the 2028 season, 2028 regular season, could be when they go to 18. Probably soon. And I'm glad they're holding off on it, at least for now, because in 18 games, and we love the NFL, we'll watch all of them, but more is more. More is a lot.
So Joshua. Curious where players are going to try to dig in when it comes to this. So I think part of the backdrop on that now is watching the World Cup and seeing all of the natural grass in some of these venues where they're like, oh, we can't do it. And so you're going to ask us to play one more game on these surfaces that we already don't like. Like, I'm super curious where the sticking point is going to be.
George Kittle's been very vocal on social about
as he
that.
Should be.
And good for them, right, for doing that.
Yeah.
Because there's clearly precedent to have actual grass at these stadiums. There's precedent that these owners, now that one's got $3 billion to cut the check on, there's precedent that you can afford it. It's no longer about a cost-cutting issue. It's just about being cheap.
Right. Which, I don't think you ever get that wealthy not minding your pennies. But at some point, you got to come up off of them, too.
So that can certainly be said about Dan Gilbert, who runs Rocket Mortgage. But I will give him great credit as owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That man will spend his money. He also has a great passion for Michigan State athletics. It is East Lansing we will go today in our 20 most interesting programs.
We'll expand conferences. We'll expand the playoffs, but we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
All right, this is a big one this year in East Lansing because it returns a very familiar face to college football, a very familiar face to those in the Big Ten. One Pat Fitzgerald comes out of collegiate exile to coach the Spartans, who last season, 4-8, was really bad with not T-Bone Jonathan Smith.
Mm.
It just never worked with him there.
Not at all. And he had no juice.
It never got off the ground.
No, like literally no juice. I felt bad for the guy, honestly, because walking in there, I didn't think it was going to be necessarily the easiest turnaround job, and his personality just added nothing to the experience either.
Was he a guy you ever had an interview with?
Like, I've interacted with him. He's a very nice guy, very gracious. I think he's a good ball coach. It just wasn't the right time or the right place for him.
He came over from Oregon State, if I have that correct. Yeah.
And he did a nice job at Oregon State, helping get that program back on track. I know you have your thoughts on Pat Fitzgerald. I've always thought that Pat Fitzgerald was a decent head coach, and maybe it was just one of those things where, and we'll find out, but maybe it was one of those things where he was just the right guy at the right place, almost like Greg Schiano for some reason just works at Rutgers. Maybe that's just Pat Fitzgerald being a Northwestern guy. He's going to need some time here, though, because they have had so much coaching turnover in the last 5 years. They haven't had a chance to build any kind of foundation. And I know that's a little different in college football nowadays, but you've got to have something there at your core, and they just have nothing.
And we'll talk with Matt Sheehan, who hosts the Locked On Spartans podcast at 11:30, because I look and see, you know, Dan Gilbert, there's the owner of the Phoenix Suns.
Matt Ishbia.
Ishbia is a big booster. They got a $400 million gift from another big name. I think it was I forget the name of the family. But
hell, Izzo's giving money back to the school.
So there's
football.
A ton of money going into this. What, obviously, is the expected return for this in year one?
Year one, I don't know if they can have the highest of hopes.
No.
There are a lot of things they're battling. You mentioned the coaching turnover. That's difficult when you have that many coaches in such a short amount of time. That comes with roster turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out and you get a coach who hadn't been on the sidelines in a while the sport is undergoing some of the biggest changes that we've seen in its history. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for that thing to get together. The thing that stands out to me, though, as we talk about Michigan State, is if you were to get into a time machine and go back a decade and a half, that was our biggest thorn in our side when I was playing for Ohio State. We lost four games the whole time, the 4 years that I was there. Two of them were to Michigan State. And they were two games that likely, the one in 2013 absolutely kept us out of playing for a title.
Yes.
In 2015, we're probably headed back to the playoff had we not lost to Michigan State. That's what that program was. They made a college football playoff. They were in New Year's Six bowl games. They owned Michigan. They did. And we're talking about a completely different thing today.
JP, I will tell you, and I know you were there and you know inside things, and I'm not asking you to say any of those, but until the 2024 Michigan loss, the 2015 Michigan State loss was one of the most baffling of my lifetime for Ohio State. And I'll never forget.
Well.
I will never forget a game in the rain against a backup quarterback.
Yep.
And Ezekiel Elliott runs the ball 12 times, and 8 of them were on your one touchdown drive. I just wanted to pound my head into the wall.
It was the nastiest game I have ever been a part of. Every part of that, like, I wake up once a week in the middle of the night pouring buckets of sweat thinking about what we could have done to win that football game. It's so unexplainable, but that program understood exactly where they were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had a coach who was a kind of old school, tough nose, no nonsense kind of guy. They came into Ohio and got the thirds, not the seconds, because Michigan was still getting some of those guys. They got the thirds that didn't want to be. Ohio State didn't want them. Michigan didn't want them. They got the second in Michigan, didn't want them. And they parlayed that into let's go beat these guys. And they did.
And you talk about that. That backup quarterback, I can't remember. There were two brothers. It was Robbie and Tyler. Tyler O'Connell. Yep. He was a Lima kid.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him in high school.
They got play all those guys. I became friends with a lot of dudes that were up there, and so many of them were Ohio kids.
So this 2026 Spartan squad, Connecticut transfer quarterback Cam Edwards comes in. Aiden Childs steps out. They also lost Nick Marsh to the transfer portal. Him and his gold cleats went to Bloomington to play for the Indiana Hoosiers. For this Michigan State team, this program in 2026, what the categories on the Spartans coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of filtered sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
And year one for Michigan State, with Pat Fitzgerald as their new head coach, the Spartans will speak next Wednesday at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. That'll be our first true introduction to Fitz in that green. They don't have the schedule on when they're going to speak, but Ryan Day and company also expected to take over the downtown Chicago Hilton Wednesday of next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be the Big Ten Media Days for the Spartans. Downtown Hilton, Chicago. Nice place.
Solid place. A lot of conventions and whatnot.
That's the place that probably Big Ten Media Days should be at every year.
Oh, they had a good thing at Lucas Oil.
Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a different setup because it's happening inside a stadium, but everything is easy to get to. Indianapolis is one of the best cities for hosting events, so it made sense there. Chicago, plenty of stuff to do, though. I'm curious where everybody's staying. Like, we're not staying at that hotel, so how people are going to get around. But I love the Windy City, so I'm excited to be back.
Matt Sheehan, the host of the Locked On Spartans podcast, will join us coming up here in 10 minutes. But right now, sorry, JP, sorry, Tyvis, if you're listening, let's hear some victory for MSU. How you doing?
Yeah.
I remember doing Saturday Spectaculars with Tyvis, and he would get physically nauseous. And I could see it on his face when we would bring up Sparty or any time that they were mentioned Michigan
State.
I'm
telling you right now, man, like I, as a player, right, like Michigan will just have you just, your blood pressure is high, right? Like that thing, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan State had me in a bind because there's no reason either of the times that the game should have gone the way that they did, but they did.
In my lifetime, Michigan State has taken away from Ohio State just about as much as Michigan. Because you had those games in the 90s with Michigan, but then there was 20 years where Michigan didn't take anything from you. And the team doing it was Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And I think back to 1998 even, I still get a sick feeling in my stomach as a Buckeye fan, knowing you were up 24-7 in that game and you lose 28-24 and it cost you probably a national championship because you were probably the best team in the country. You mentioned 13, 15. Ugh.
Damn Spartans.
What are the categories on Michigan State? Their college football 2026 adaptability grade, Joshua.
Feels like the grade I'm gonna have a couple of these on here, unfortunately, is an incomplete. And the reason why is I think with the boosters that they have, they can become a team that can spend. I also know that their university leadership is in such disarray right now. And I'm not sure exactly how that gets fixed just based off of how things operate up in the state of Michigan. So I want to see once they get the leadership aspect of it figured out, maybe how they get some of that alignment there. Without it, it's probably C minus bordering on a D. If they get it together, I'm thinking B plus in that territory.
So I feel like with Michigan State, I've got a lot of just middle of the road here, and I've got a C with this because I think they have the money to spend in the transfer portal. I just don't think they've been able to hire the right coach to give them a direction of where to go with that money. So I just got them as a C.
D plus for me. If Tom Izzo is pissed, you're in a really bad spot as an athletic department.
I agree.
Uniform brand grade for the Michigan State Spartans.
Those alternates with the highlighter green can go to hell. I cannot stand those. I actually think their uniforms are pretty nice, though. I enjoy them. So on the uniform, I'm probably in a B plus. Like, I think it's pretty good. I like the helmet. I like the actual jersey. I love the colors. Just as colors I enjoy. Brand grade, I don't know how cool it is. I don't know what they're spinning right now. You know, and they got the hoops thing where Izzo is kind of like the mascot of that university. So I'm probably putting them there at a C minus as well.
If this is hoops, it's probably an A minus.
Yeah.
But I've got this as a C. I don't like any of their alternates. Classic uniform is just okay to me. I've never been a huge fan of the color green, so it's just okay. This would probably be a D if it wasn't for Sparty, because Sparty's awesome.
I don't like mascots.
I think it's a C.
this is a C for me as well. Historical player you'd pick for this Michigan State team?
I mean, Kirk Cousins, Connor Cook kind of guy. I just give them a quarterback and then kind of figure it out from there. I think their quarterback situation is going to be close to the bottom of the conference this year. Like, if we had to break it into tiers, I don't think they're in the basement, but they're not very much above that. And that's going to be a problem for them if they're trying to get right.
So I thought about Bubba Smith for this, but I've heard you and Tyvus talk a lot about you need a pass rusher to finish you off, a pass rusher to get you over the top. What's the best thing you can have for a football team that's maybe not that great is a running game. And they've had some really good running backs over the year. But the first Michigan State running back I ever remember, and he's got the single season rushing record for them, is Lorenzo White.
Mm.
So I'm going old school, and I'm saying give me Lorenzo White on this football team to help grind games down and slow that clock down.
Yeah, I was thinking about a Kirk Cousins because their quarterback situation right now is just the biggest question mark. With a roster full of question marks. I remember Shalik Calhoun.
I remember Shalik.
Shalik's one of my guys. Incredible. And would be a boon for any team in the Big Ten would have him. I don't know if he'd start for the Ohio States or if there would be a few schools he would not start for. But I remember he was, 3-time defensive lineman of the year in the conference.
Very good player.
So he would absolutely help out right now with this Michigan State squad. But the quarterback, I think, is the obvious choice here for so many of these programs that you don't know what they're going to be offensively. Like, the identity is what? Running back, because they got 6 of them out of the transfer portal. Would Michigan State get an official visit from Vince Howard? I think we can all just use your grade, Joshua.
Yeah, it's probably like a D. I think you go because you know there's not a guy there, but like, they are up against a lot when it comes to trying to recruit guys, and I just feel like you're not interested in going there right now.
Coach grade for the Michigan State Spartans.
So this is going to be another incomplete for me. Fitz, the history was all there. He's coaching the conference. He's had success doing it with less. Like, I get all the different things. I think part of the Fitz that we remember was the Big Ten West, and we have to kind of downgrade what we think he was as a coach because it was a lot easier to do that there. He hasn't been around for a few years through all the changes. And if you know Fitz, he is a little bit of a stubborn guy. Right. Like, I'm not sure he's the most malleable coach in the world. And you have to be that way in this day and age.
I'm giving this a B minus because I think he did some good things at Northwestern, a program that's historically hard to win at. And I still think Michigan State is a tough, hard-nosed school. So I think his style can fit there. So I'm giving it a B-.
It's incomplete is the grade, and I would even say C-. If you're trying to build a program, I'm not sure the coach you want is the guy that's been kind of in football purgatory for a while.
Yeah.
Whatever you think about what happened with Fitz at Northwestern, if you're trying to get into what college football is now, I don't know if he's the guy to do it. Sliding door moment in Michigan State Spartan history.
So Michigan State for like a 25-year period through the 50s up until the 70s, like they won 6 titles. It was a great program. Mm-hmm. And then there was a bunch of 500 in between. And then they hired D'Antonio, and he was a guy who won 2/3 of his games on his best seasons. He was college football playoff. He was New Year's Six. He won, 65% of his games in the conference, and really brought them back into a spot where it's like, this is one of the more prominent teams in the Big Ten. This is a team that is a national contender. And then that thing fell apart. So I think it's that period of time where he brought them back up, and then what's happened since.
Yeah, I think it's D'Antonio leaving because they just haven't been able to get the coaching hire right since. And Michigan State went from a thorn in Ohio State's side to sliding off the map a little bit.
I agree with you guys there. I was going to just say when Nick Saban went and took the LSU job, that was what, before the 2000 season? Like, if Nick Saban had stayed there, I don't think Michigan State would have been in LSU or in Alabama, and I think that's largely why he took the job in Baton Rouge. But what could have been one of the great ones that you can't really have what-if moments, you can't really have big college football moments in my lifetime without talking the Tuscaloosa for this team. Win it all, make the playoff too soon, or flame out?
Way too soon.
Yeah,
I think it's a flame out this year just because of all of the coaching turnover. It doesn't seem like there's a solid base here.
Matt Sheehan hosts the Locked On Spartans podcast. He will join us in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Michigan State Spartans are going to be in Chicago this coming week, Big Ten Media Days. Fitz will speak on Wednesday. Very interested to see how it's been for Pat Fitzgerald in East Lansing. Very interested to see how things go for him in his first year in what's the most different college football world that he's probably ever experienced relative to how he was as a coach and a player at Northwestern. So we got out of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Bring on Matt Sheehan. He hosts the Locked On Spartans podcast. Matt, thanks so much for the time this morning, bud. What's the Pat Fitzgerald experience been like so far for you?
Fellas, thanks a lot for having me on. It's been good. He gets hired, and look, it's been 4 years ever since he's coached. It's a full World Cup cycle ever since he's been in here. So fans are a little, but he injects culture into here. And that is something that we didn't get with Jonathan Smith, lack of energy. So right off the rip, he's saying all the right things. He's from the area. So right now, it seems like the fan approval meter is going in the right way. Seasons have to start, as we know.
What was the offseason like? I know coming in as a new coach, obviously, you want to come in, as you mentioned, set the culture. You're trying to get to know the roster while you're bringing transfers in. What was kind of the tone once they left spring ball this season?
Cautiously optimistic. He likes some things, but you could kind of tell and read between the lines that, okay, we're not going to be all the way there in year one, specifically with the depth, too. There are some position groups that we're feeling okay about. But as we know here in East Lansing, last few years, injuries are a big thing in football, and there are some drop-offs in depth, like the offensive line, for example, the defensive backs. Those are the two biggest holes right here. So he likes where the culture's going, but as far as the personnel, I think that's why our over-under win total is 3.5.
We talked about the coaching turnover here at Michigan State the last 5 years, and you talked a little bit about there with the depth. What does the base of this Michigan State program that Fitzgerald has to work with, and who are some of the guys that they brought in out of the transfer portal that you think are really going to help this team?
Yeah, they only brought in, it's about like 800 kids out of the transfer portal, right? So the base, I was going to go with linebacker here, Jordan Hall. He's back for an unheard of fourth year at the same program in college football, especially with all these head coaching changes we've had. So I'm going to go with that. That'll be the heartbeat of this defense and maybe just the whole team. But the transfer portal, what got impacted the most? Offensive line. We needed an overhaul there. We got four new starters out of the transfer portal. Some, you know, very high-level players at the FCS level. Trent Fraley, also a guy from UConn that has more than 1,000 career snaps at UConn. So that's what I'm going to go with. It has to be the offensive line. They know it has to be the offensive line. Let's see if they can stay healthy for the entire year.
Matt Sheehan is our guest. He hosts the Locked On Spartans podcast. Grab that wherever you is you do your podcasting. We know that, you know, Dan Gilbert, Matt Ishbia, very prominent boosters with the football program. I want to say the university got a $400 million gift from another side of the booster perspective. But for the football program, where's the money coming from?
That's a good call out. Greg Williams with the $400 million donation. Now, what is and what that isn't is still to be determined. $100 million of it is for this new Spartan Ventures thing, which is supposed to boost NIL. Well, look, this is what happens when you don't make a bowl game in about 4 or 5 years, is that you're going to lose donor interest. And that's not to say that's been our only problem here, but that's an uphill battle that Pat has to climb. I mentioned that Pat has, you know, trying to reinstall some energy in this program. And it goes more than just filling a Spartan stadium. It goes to donors, too. That's something that Jonathan Smith, the most few things he didn't do well, was schmooze donors. And I know that he wasn't comfortable with it. It wasn't his favorite thing to do. But that is obviously, as we all know now, a must in the world of college football. You have to drive money in, and it's very hard when you haven't been winning in 4 or 5 years. We'll see where it comes from.
So you mentioned the over-under win total at 3.5. So maybe wins isn't the best way to judge success for the Spartans this upcoming season, but how will you look back and try to judge how successful this season was?
That's a good call, you know, and it sounds very lame, corny. I just want to see this team have an identity by the end of the year. I haven't seen an identity with Michigan State football. It felt like in a decade, 2015. The 2017 team was fine, but look, the last 5 years, our only identity that we've had was 2021, where it was give Kenneth Walker the ball and let's just see what happens. We've had no thesis in any of these games, any of these years, either side of the ball. So, look, they want to come in. They want to be a run-heavy offense, which is going to aid our quarterback, Alessio Milivojevic. Can they actually do it? Can they get to a physical brand of Michigan State Big Ten football that we all know and love? Because it's been a minute, guys. So, yes, obviously we want to see wins. I want to see the bowl game. Son's life. But hey, you know what? If we just get a culture installed, an identity installed, I'll even take that for year one, as bad as that sounds.
With everything you just said there, Matt, and obviously the Mel Tucker stuff, Jonathan Smith's 2 years, how long is the leash here for Pat Fitzgerald?
Sizable, right? We can't keep hitting the reset button every 2 years. So I feel like at the minimum, he's going to be having 3 years here. Now, whether that's because of financials or just we're all tired of doing the same cycle every 2 years, right? But I think he's going to have a little bit of a longer leash here. And what's going to help him is familiarity, everything I already named. I mean, he's energizing this fan base. The players inside of this locker room are already like in the direction of where this is going. So look, I think he's a good locker room guy to have. And let's just keep on rolling with that for at least 3 years. I hope it's longer. I'm just so tired of this new coaching stuff, guys.
Matt Sheehan, kind enough to give us some of his time today on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Again, grab the Locked On Spartans podcast, wherever it is you do your podcasting. The Buckeyes and Spartans won't meet this season, so Paul Keels won't have to try for Michigan State's quarterback's name. Let me see if I can hit it here. I heard you do it, Matt. So it's Alessio Milivojevic.
That's a good effort. Okay. Yeah, sure. No, okay. I'm terrible at name pronunciation. So, Alessio Milivojevic, I'm like 95% sure that's right. That's what I'm going to go with the rest of the season. But, yeah,
How much
I like him with what we saw the last four games
of Pat Fitzgerald's offense do you expect to center around him?
Ideally, I mean, look, it's a quarterback. Obviously, you know, you're going to have a good chunk centered around him. So I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but hopefully not a ton. Hopefully this is going to be a run oriented offense. And well, that's because of the identity, but that helped Alessio Milivojevic thrive. I like what I saw from him in the last four games of the season. He spread the ball around. He didn't just hone in on one target, Nick Marsh, and spam him over and over and over again. He's got good arm strength. However, the athleticism isn't all there. He was pressured a ton. Let's get some play action going. Play action doesn't start, as you guys know, without a run game. I hope this is run-oriented. I hope it's like a 60-40 run-pass split coming up. I think that's the best version of Michigan State's offense for this upcoming fall.
So I don't know how keyed in on this you would be, but one of the things that stands out right now about Michigan State is some of the consternation among university leadership, athletic department leadership. You know, Izzo's been on the record about how he's not happy with some things. How big of an obstacle could that be in the way of success for the football program?
It could absolutely be an obstacle. It's been a gone show here the last few years with our Board of Trustees. And look, as a sports person, I'm not supposed to care about the Board of Trustees. I'm not even supposed to know who they are or what they do, but they keep getting in the way. So, yes, that does affect donors at a certain level. We almost saw our president leave. He was on the one-yard line of taking the Clemson job. Feel like we're kind of stabilizing this plane in the midst of turbulence. So I think we're getting some somewhat positive momentum. But, yeah, your athletic director leaving less than a year on the job certainly doesn't help things. So we'll see what comes next for the athletic director position.
Matt, I guess I just think from a standpoint where you had Kurt Cignetti come into Indiana as the losingest program or one of the losingest programs. 2 years later, they're winning the national championship. So in college football in 2026, anything can happen, I guess. But appreciate the time today. Looking forward to the start of the season. Again, Locked On Spartans is where that is where Matt is. You can find that whatever it is you do your podcasting. Matt, thanks for the time today, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. Happy football season pretty soon.
And he joins us again, the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We got the LeBron decision. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently.
For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Our thanks to Matt Sheehan, who joined us in the last segment talking all things Michigan State football, the Locked On Spartans podcast there. The Philadelphia 76ers have signed veteran superstar LeBron James to a 2-year, $8 million deal with a player option. Clutch Sports Group and Clutch CEO and Game Over show host Rich Paul telling ESPN. That's part of how Shams Charania worded the breaking news.
Of course.
About the last 10 minutes. I don't know what the Game Over show is. Is that a podcast?
Yeah, I think they've got a Netflix deal too.
Of course. Yeah. But LeBron will be at this with Tyrese Maxey, with Jaylen Brown, with Joel Embiid. I get it. I'm disappointed because it's not Cleveland.
I'm heated.
Yeah.
You made us wait for this. And listen, I'm a LeBron guy, okay. So I'm going to buy the jersey. I don't care. But I'm pissed.
I'm really interested to see because I can't, at least right now, I got odds. The 76ers on DraftKings are third behind the Spurs and the Thunder at plus 270. And now the Sixers go plus 900. You know who else is plus 900? The Knicks. The Celtics plus 1,300, the Cavs plus 2,500. So I still think they are top. This moves them to competitive in the East, whereas I think even with Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid, because you don't know how many games Joel Embiid's even going to play, they're competitive, but are they still above the best in the West? Now, yeah, if LeBron and Joel can stay healthy through a season.
Was this the number one place he could have went to win a championship because they just had that run last year?
Probably.
I don't know if he made the Cavs a championship team. He made them better, but I still think there was flaws. And I don't know if Giannis and LeBron by themselves could have pushed the Heat over the edge. So this might have been the best place for him to win.
I mean, the second year on this is going to be the soap opera, right? Because what's that going to look like? You know, just, if they don't win the title in year one,
just win it year one and then don't have to worry about it.
No, that's a very good point. But again, from DraftKings, Spurs, Thunder, still your favorites. Philadelphia 76ers, your co-favorites to win the East. Third best odds, the second best odds if you factor Spurs, Thunder, the same. Sixers, Knicks, plus 900 there. The Daily Fan Pool, sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, is the SEC the best conference in the country from top to bottom? Well, the Southeastern Conference didn't get LeBron, so 77% of you say no, you're right. I think.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the top is, as Doug LaMaurice put it earlier in the program, the top's not near the top right now. Maybe one, two teams that you would put top three in the Big Ten, maybe. Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana.
Yeah.
We'll do three things. The final time this week.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, so first thing out of me, and it's the processing of LeBron's decision. I go, what are the Cavs going to do? Because you can't run that back. You could not have run that back. And I know I said way back last season, back in October at the beginning of the year, they had to make the Eastern Conference Finals. They had to be competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals? They got run. I'm sick of them getting punked by the New York Knicks. And they had to do something, and they're not doing anything, at least right now. I mean, the Mitchell extension, fine. I understand that. But that's their ceiling with them, and it's not good enough, in my opinion.
Is that your guy, Mitchell? Like, he's going to take you there? How's it going? All right. My first thing, I like to get on here and tell stories about my son, James, 2.5 years old, almost. Yesterday, we talked earlier in the show about parents and picking favorites. He dropped down the power rankings. I only got two of them. So he's at the bottom right now. This dude, I don't know what got into him. We're sitting on the couch. We're eating goldfish, watching a movie. He just up and two pieces me. Boom, boom. Two quick ones to the face. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? So, you know, to kind of yoke him and get in his face, you don't do that to dad. Well, now he's heated. So he picks up a keychain, throws it at me. Picks up a foam ball, throws it at me. And then he's looking, what else can I throw at dad? Picks up his sister's bottle, hits me in the head with it. Oh, me and him had an afternoon. I had to exercise some self-control with that kid. Bake, I know you love him, but oh, man, he'll take you there.
2.5 years old, this dude.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. Oh, that's great. First thing for me, the world's largest alumni softball tournament is happening in my hometown of Grove City this weekend. It all gets underway tonight. 25 years I participated in that tournament. I didn't play last year. I'm not playing this year. Don't plan on playing again. But I will be down there watching everyone playing, partaking in some beverages. So good luck to everyone playing. Stay healthy this weekend and have a great time.
Get the coolers ready.
All right. Second thing for me, LeBron James posted a 4-tweet, 5-paragraph statement. Too long. Didn't read. Don't care, LeBron. I didn't want him anyway. That bum.
TLDR. Cope. All right. My second thing.
Yeah.
I did the crosstalk with T-Bone and Tyvus. You can catch him here on The Fan 6 to 9 every weekday. And Tyvus brought up to me that we together have weekend plans. This was news. I've seen Tyvus every morning this week, but allegedly the wives got together and they planned out a little evening for tomorrow that I was unaware of until I sat down in that chair earlier this morning. So thank you for the communication there. Tyvus, can't wait to see you tomorrow.
The wife's just telling you guys what you're doing.
Dude,
this
it's
weekend.
Like work. I just show up and do what I'm told.
James will be happy to see Uncle Ty.
Oh, he loves some Uncle Ty. Does not like T-Bone, though.
We've established that. Second thing for me, as you heard earlier today, I have some pretty strong opinions about Sark's comments and everybody saying Texas missed out on the college football playoff last year because they lost to Ohio State, not that they lost to a 4-8 Florida. You guys get to hear us go on our rants and give our opinions all the time. I would love to hear yours. So if you have strong comments on Sark and the SEC and now the things that they've done this week, or LeBron going to Philly, Scotty Vegas and I would love to hear from you from 8 to 9 Sunday morning, the fan call-in show. Make sure you wake up early, have your coffee, and call in and talk to us. We'd love to have a chat with you.
Final thing for me, because I'm not mad. I'm totally not mad, because now I'm being made fun of in the YouTube chat because there is that James Harden extension that's going to be coming. So that'll be news for the Cleveland Cavaliers when they sign James Harden to a new deal, keeping him there longer than he probably should be. Dylan Tyer and I will react to that tomorrow. The Saturday Spectacular from 10 to 1, I think is the time we're on.
What an upgrade for you. From Tito to Dylan Tyer? That's nice.
Well, we'll have plenty of Jacket stuff to talk about, because the LeBron stuff, like, this is fine. I'm fine. It's totally fine. I'm not mad at all. Whatever, LeBron.
I know that you aren't a huge partaker in beverages, but this seems like a nice little evening for maybe an afternoon, you know, get a little day drinking in.
A perfect afternoon for the High Bank post show meeting.
Ha ha! There you go. My final thing. I enjoyed the hell out of this week thoroughly. Love working with you guys. Love being in here. Be a busy week, so you ain't going to see me around here, but you'll see me other places. But thank you guys for inviting me in.
I guarantee you the pleasure was ours, JP.
Yes.
Final thing for me on your Friday afternoon, and I'm sure we'll be listening during our post-show meeting. Rothman and Ice coming up today. They are loaded up. Scotty Vegas is in for Maddie today. They're going to talk some LeBron right off the rip. Then there's some Bengals with James Rapine at 12:30. They'll have Ben Axelrod on to discuss some more LeBron at 1:30. And then they'll do some baseball talk, a little chin music with Jensen Lewis at 2:30.
Yeah, Baker's absolutely right, Joshua. The pleasure's all ours. Always ours. That. We love having you in. You make this show, you make us better.
Thank you.
Enjoy the hell out of the weekend. Give Tyvis more grief than he can actually handle.
I'm just hoping this meeting goes down at Waffle House. That's it.
Poe will be back on Monday. He's out in Montana enjoying the week. We're going to have SMU as our 20 most interesting program come Monday morning, and then we'll dip back into the SEC next week. I did want to just bring up as just a palate cleanser, because we have some time before we got to give things away to the boys at Rothman and Ice. Brady Edmonds on Thursday, the four-star quarterback commit in the class of 2027. He reaffirmed things by closing off his recruitment. I knew UCLA was trying to do the old poacheroo, but Brady Edmonds going to be sticking on because he would like to be developed here.
Made the right decision. Smart young man. Excited to have a little bit of stability there with the quarterback position into the future.
Because that's what you want. You want your quarterbacks to come out of high school, come to Ohio State, develop for a couple years, and then off to the NFL. We are off. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you Monday. Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio Sports Day.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.